Back here on Darren, Donica, and Chase on this Thursday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Willie will join us a little bit later in the program. His son is playing in a baseball tournament this morning, so he'll join us at the conclusion of that. Elijah Campbell manning our Wholesale Link Game Studio board back at the Wholesale Link Game Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I said that twice, so two mentions. There you go. Todd Walker, former LSU Tiger, former big leaguer. We always enjoy our chats with him, and boy, has he enjoyed his chats after the last two nights following up things on SEC Now. I've really enjoyed your coverage, Todd, but man, Mississippi State and Vanderbilt have given you lots of material to talk about the last two nights.
It's been unbelievable. You know, I mean, we won the national championship in 1993 with LSU, and you can call it resiliency, you can call it just sticking with it all the way through, or you can call it luck. Either way, you need a lot of all of it. And in 93, I hit a ball that hit the first baseman's glove if he first. And we go to extra innings, but instead it goes into right field. We win that game, and we win the national championship. So you've got to have a little bit of that. And I don't know why. I think it was – who was it? Arizona that they were playing the other night. I don't know why they weren't playing double play depth on the ball that goes through. Vanderbilt wins that game, but they didn't. And then last night, like you guys mentioned, a wild pitch, you know, to win that one. And it's just amazing, and you got to have a little bit of that, and it's good to see, because that's a good sign that things are heading in the right direction for Vanderbilt, because they didn't play great.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. How do you you know, you can say all this stuff, but you've lived it. You just gave a perfect example. What is it like in the moment? Because when you're watching it from afar, whether you're in the stands or you're watching it on television, it's easy to sit there and look at Mississippi State on Tuesday night and say, they're dead. I mean, they don't even have a hit. We're going into the eighth inning. They don't even have a hit. They're done. They're down four runs. Like, this thing is over. And yet, obviously, there's a belief in their clubhouse. It's a belief that they can pull it off, and they get this unbelievable win. Vanderbilt's down to the last out, the last strike. Arizona, I mean, you've got the ace there for Stanford, the guy who comes in and shuts the door, the guy who's been mowing them down on the bump, and you're thinking, this is over. Like, how down to the last strike, and the next thing you know, they're winning the game. What is that like to go through as a player?
I love baseball for a lot of different reasons, and I've watched so much of it. You know, one killer in baseball, and if you have kids and you coach, or we're parents and you go and coach, you've got to have a dude on the mound that dominates a fastball and doesn't walk anybody. The walks kill. Last night, remember, on a 3-2 pitch, he doesn't want to throw it right down the middle and just hit it out. Who cares, you know? Hit it out if you can with two outs. He tries to paint the corner, and he misses. Mm-hmm. Ball four, and then the pinch hitter comes in, and he slaps it to the left side, and he's safe. And then he throws the first pitch curveball to Enrique Bradfield. He ties the game up. If you walk a guy to lead off an inning, you lose. That's it. And they had two outs last night, so it's a little bit different. But the other night with Mississippi State, they walked the first guy. And then Kellen Clark comes up, hits the two-run homer, cuts the lead in half. And all of a sudden, they have life. So when you walk people in baseball, you lose. That's it. And that's happened both times, the two games we're talking about. And that was the main thing. To answer your question, as a player, you're going to fight it, man. I mean, this is what I love about this postseason baseball. During the year, you may have some give up in you a little bit because you got a long way to go. But when you know your season's on the line, you have no choice but to stick your nose in there and fight. And you're seeing that with Vanderbilt. They've got six errors in this tournament. That's by far the most in this tournament among all the teams that are here. Not to mention, you know, the guy stole third last night in the first inning, and they throw it into left field, except it hits him in the shoulder and kicks back into the infield. Otherwise, it's 2-0 Stanford at that point, you know.
Yeah.
So there were mistakes made in right field. So there were mistakes that aren't even errors that Vanderbilt, you know, just – it's tough too, man, because they're 18-, 19-year-old kids, and you get days off here. And it's hard to get back into the swing of things when you actually have to. So you saw Corbs call them together in the fourth inning or whatever that was, and and give them a little reality check. And at that point, you know, they changed. They changed. Dominic Keegan hits the two-run homer, and things started to move in the right direction.
It felt like the umpires were a little bit more on center stage in the Tennessee game. But things were a little bit out of control early on in the Tennessee-Texas game. As an analyst, I'll ask you as an analyst, because I know probably your feelings as a player, but as an analyst, did you feel like they were a little bit too involved in the game? Like they're not supposed to? I don't know. I felt like they didn't exactly handle the situation great. I don't think that they did anything to calm the situation, and I think at times lost control of the game, even though they would probably tell us they were in control. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, and you heard KP and them talking a lot about that. I think it was KP on the broadcast.
Yep.
Then
mm-hmm.
I never loved umpires that had they heard every little thing. Like if you hear every little thing and you react to every little thing, it is going to end up like you saw. Now that's a game we really had like that. But I don't think that they need to be that involved. I never umpired, so I don't really know, but has to come a point when enough's enough, right? But I think early in that game, they were going nuts. Ross Kivett goes nuts. I think the reason he got thrown out for Tennessee was because the third base umpire saw him throw his binder. Like
yes.
He couldn't have heard him say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a reaction thing by Ross Kivett. Now the pitch that he was, that threw him over the top was a ball. Like it wasn't a strike, but, you know, he had had enough and so had the third base umpire apparently, because he's the one that threw him out. So stuff like that, yeah, I think it's a little tic-tac. And you want to let the guys play, and you certainly don't want that environment where, you know, everybody's walking on eggshells now all of a sudden. It happens from the first inning on.
Yeah, I think it was actually your boy Big Ben that was in the booth. That was pretty critical.
Oh, was it Ben and
yeah,
it was,
I think,
Ben and Chris Berg. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
And I don't think Ben was
right.
Very happy about it.
No, because even in the big leagues and all the games we've played, you know, most umpires, you know, they'll let things slide off. Now I've never been personally me. I've never been a guy just screaming and yelling at the umpire from the beginning. I might say that was a ball, that was a strike, whatever. If I got rung up on strike three in the first at bat, I might say that ball's low. But about the third time something happens is when I'd lose it. So, you know, I mean, but at the same time with the umpire, same thing, right? So the umpires first few times don't react. And I felt like in that game they reacted to the very first thing they heard, and in their mind they're keeping it under control. But you got to let something slide, you know, unless it's derogatory or they're cussing at you and it really gets out of hand. But it can get out of hand if you start being tic-tac at the beginning.
As we sit here in Nashville, two teams from the state, Vanderbilt still alive, and, of course, Tennessee just got back to Knoxville yesterday. Along those lines, Tony Vitello, the job he's done in year four, your alma mater, they're looking for a head coach. I see Arizona's Jay Johnson. I see East Carolina's coach, who was here in the Super Regional against Vanderbilt, Notre Dame's coach. Any insight on who your alma mater is going to be next?
No, unfortunately, they haven't called me to ask
no?
my opinion. And that's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You would think that they would do that. Have a little round table of some alumni and kind of get some input. You know, I mean, Scott Woodward definitely knows what he's doing. He's the AD, but, you know, everybody needs a little bit of help, right? I would
sure.
think they would have done that. And if they did come here to Omaha, I'm sitting right here. You know, let's talk a little bit about the future of LSU. Now, they don't have to do that, and they didn't. But I just thought, you know, that'd be kind of cool to be involved in a decision where in a game that I love and I know best, you know. And there's a few others that could be the same way. In terms of Tony Vitello, I'm speaking, you know, my own personal opinion. He's built something there in 4 years that he's been there that could be dynamic. They built him a new stadium, and they're off and running. Now I could see a scenario where they come to him and say, you know, we're just not going to do that right now. Well, then at that point, then Tony V has a chance to go look around, you know, because there's better opportunities. In the end, it's all about recruiting. Like, I love when people say, you know, that coach went 50-16 this year. Coach didn't do much. It's the players on the field that got to get it done. Kumar Rocker has got to get it done for Vanderbilt on Friday night, or they lose. That's just the way it is. And so you got to have the players. You got to have the recruits. And how do you recruit? Well, you build a building in Starkville that's $58 million, and a recruit walks in and sees that. Where do I sign, right? So the facilities, I think, in the SEC are so great that teams like Tennessee and Missouri and certain other schools have to catch up or they're going to lose all these recruits. And so I think for Tony Vitello, it's all about the new stadium. I don't even know if it's as much about the money because, you know, he's a single guy and he's got enough of that already. So, you know, a little bit of money here or there won't change his mind. I think he loves Tennessee and he knows that he's building a deal that could last a long time. And so I think in the end, for him, it's the facility. Now, if they don't agree to build it, then I think he'll go elsewhere. But if they do, I think he's there for a long time.
Todd Walker is with us, ESPN baseball analyst. And continuing along those lines, because you're absolutely right, it's going to take the facilities to keep him there. But this is where you have a new athletic director that hadn't been there very long. That's not the AD that hired Tony Vitello in Danny White. But how much of this has to be a trust thing? If Danny White says, yeah, you know what, we're going to put this together, we're going to build the facilities, but that's just words. And Tony Vitello would then be agreeing to sign a contract to stay based on those words. So how key is trust going to be in all of this to make it all work?
Huge, and I agree. It has to go hand in hand. Like if I'm the athletic director, I'm saying we're going to build you this multi-million dollar deal, and it's going to be really nice. And the flip side, you need to sign this deal for 8 years or whatever that you're going to be here. Now, keep in mind, Tim Tadlock in Lubbock got a lifetime deal. Lifetime. Like as long as he's alive, he gets to coach at Texas Tech. So those deals are out there. Whether or not Tony Vitello or the AD wants to do that, I don't know, but you're exactly right. It has to go hand in hand. I need Tony Vitello to commit to being there. But even then, I don't know how that stuff works because it still seems like you can get out of it and go elsewhere and stuff like that. Can't you write in the contract that, you know, you're locked in? You're not going anywhere else. I think you can write that in a contract, but it seems like throughout baseball, you know, even though guys have contracts, they can get released and get fired, they can quit, they can move around. So I don't know how all that works exactly, but it seems to me you can write in the contract that Tony Vitello is going to stay and that we're going to build you a new stadium. Yeah, it definitely would go hand in hand.
You brought up earlier to start this when talking about Vanderbilt and their comeback that, you know, there were times they just really weren't playing that well. And I think if you look at them overall since they've been in Omaha, there's another level there. They're just, from what we've seen with Tim Corbin and with these players in the past, the defending national champions, I feel like that there's another place they can go. In your playing days, I'm sure that in games, in stretches, you and your teammates, you recognize that. There was the talk of, yeah, hey, you know, there's something more here. We can do this. We can swing the bat better. We need to pay more attention to pitches, all those things. What are those conversations like when you know you're kind of in a situation where you got to step it up and it just hasn't happened yet?
We walked in. The only thing I can talk about is my own experience in 93. We walked into the College World Series, beat Long Beach State. So we were 2-0. They had to come around and beat us, and they did the first night on Wednesday night. So we had to play them again on Friday to go to the national championship. And that Friday game is what I keep coming back to. We were down 5-3 in the ninth, and we were about to go home. And so our hats are turned on backwards. There's some guys like real emotional. I mean, it is a fight. And again, this is what I love about this time of year because we're really involved. We got 8-9-1 coming up to the plate, down by 2 in the bottom of the ninth. And everybody's just all in, and you hear it. And so there's a fight at the plate. Our first guy gets a base hit. Next guy strikes out. Our leadoff guy coming around with one out walks. So now we got first and second with one out. And everybody's screaming, yelling. Some guys are actually crying. I mean, it is a emotional, big-time deal. Armando Rios, who played in the San Francisco organization, comes up our two-hole, hits a double in the gap, scores both of them. And that's when it came around to me and the play I was talking about. They walk Russ Johnson in front of me. So it's, and there's a wild pitch involved there, too. So it's first and third with one out. And they have Gabe Gonzalez, Gabe the Blade from Long Beach State on the mound. Lefty-lefty matchup. I was a left-hand hitter. And he flips me one in there, and I ripped it at first. And, again, it went off his glove and goes into right. And I could feel it at the plate. You know, you can feel the pull from the rest of your teammates. And that's a rare thing, man. I mean, no matter where you play the rest of your life through the regular season, people don't care as much. But they care now, and that's what's so cool about this time of year.
So Vandy now has to face NC State again. NC State has been this scrappy little Wolfpack. That's exactly what they've been throughout the playoffs here. Now they got to beat them twice just to get to the final. What are some things that you've seen that NC State does that can make it so difficult on teams?
Well, first of all, they're one of the best defending teams in the country. They're just not going to beat themselves. Coach Elliot Avent from NC State told us in his 25 years, this is the first time he's had plus defenders at every position. So they're gonna play good defense. They grind you out at the plate. They're the best ACC, the best offense in the ACC. So they can swing it. We all know that they can. They've some kind of come up with the timely home runs. I mean, it's unbelievable. The shortstop Jose Torres hit a home run in each game against Arkansas, all three games, including the ninth inning one off Kevin Copps to bring NC State here. So Jose Torres, the shortstop, is a guy that can get it done. Their right fielder, Devontae Brown, was this Ruston Regional MVP, and he hit seventh for them. And Elliot Avent doesn't change the lineup around. He leaves them the same, and I love that because now you can stay comfortable in your position. All of a sudden, if you're a 7-hole hitter and they put you in the 4-hole, you feel like you got to do something different and be more powerful or whatever, and it changes things. So I love that Elliot Avent keeps the lineup the same. They've got a very athletic team overall, and they're just getting it done. I mean, Vanderbilt, only had two hits against a guy that's got an elevated ERA, didn't have a great year, Sam Highfield, but he's been pitching really well in the postseason. They're going to face a guy named Willitson coming up in the first game against Kumar Rocker. And Willitson's exactly the same as Highfield. He's going to throw strikes. He's not overpowering. He's not going to, rack up 15 strikeouts like we're seeing here with a couple other guys. But he's going to be around the plate, and he's going to throw it in good locations. And if Vanderbilt doesn't get the bats going, then he's going to do the same thing Sam Highfield did to him. And then, of course, if you get to the seventh inning, the sixth or seventh inning, they're going to bring in – they got two lefties. The only two guys they're going to use out of the pen. They're both lefties, and they both throw 95 miles an hour with a slider. And so you got two different options there. So NC State's tough, but I can't see a scenario when you stack up Kumar Rocker for his last start at Vanderbilt and Jack Leiter on 4 days rest. I think I would assume the next day if they win on 4 days rest and his last start at Vanderbilt, I can't see a scenario that they just don't dominate and win. And so good news is they've got those guys lined up for this weekend. Bad news is they get burnt for the finals. You know, the College World Series finals, they won't have either guy. And, Vanderbilt becomes pretty normal after those two guys. And so that's not to say they can't get it done, but it's just stacked up poorly because they had lost the game and got sent to the elimination round. And that's tough to come out of the loser's bracket.
So it's interesting you bring up Leiter.
I was wondering if you were going.
Yeah, totally. If they win, so you do believe that he starts on 4 days rest and is just not available out of the pen? Because
we had a big debate yesterday on the show on whether if Vanderbilt got to Saturday, and by the way, we could throw NC State in there. You brought up Heifel. Do both Heifel and Leiter, are they back out there starting on Saturday night?
No, NC State would use Johnston again. Hey, he's really their ace. He's their main guy, and he threw game one. So they'd go Willitson, Johnston.
Actually, it's Saturday afternoon. My bad. Excuse me. Saturday afternoon.
Correct. Saturday, the NC State, if they lost the first game, they'd come back with Johnston. But they don't want that, right? Because if they win, now they're totally set up with their rotation for the finals. For Vanderbilt, that would be a deal if I'm Tim Corbin. I'm going to Al Leiter and I'm saying, what do you think? I don't want to blow the kid out, but it's not outrageous. I mean, he's been on rest for 4 days at that point, so it's like 1 day removed from being ideal, but it would be a conversation I'd have with the dad who has all the experience in the world. And I'm sure that Al would say, yeah, let's go. And then I'm sure that Jack Leiter says, I want the ball. So I don't see any way that you leave Leiter on the bench through that Saturday game trying to get to the finals. I think he's in. And to your point, I think what you were trying to say, on 3 days rest, he might be a pin guy behind Kumar Rocker on Friday for an inning or so, just to get you through that game. But I doubt they would do that. They'd probably bring in Maldonado, and they've got a couple guys out of the pen that they're capable of closing the door for Kumar. But I think you're going to see Kumar go eight innings. He's going to eat up most of those innings. Yeah. And throw really well. And then Jack Leiter on Saturday. I think that's how it's going to line up.
Mm. I'm in agreement with you, Todd. It was interesting. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Keep up the good work. You know you're doing a good job. That's where I go. The minute the nightcap game is over, I want to go listen to you break down these games. So keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's easier said than done. I got thrown into this fire, man. I know this team of baseball, man, but you can put up on there. You've got to get names right. You've got to get stats right. You got to do it all within a minute. You guys know, man, that's tough. So I appreciate the compliment, and you can call me anytime. Thanks.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job. That is Todd Walker. He is out in Omaha, and I'm not kidding. SEC Now. Whenever these games are over, that's where I go to the SEC Network to watch Peter Burns and Todd Walker break down these games. They have done a really, really good job just going through the day's action. And Todd Walker, I think, has really shined in that role. And like you said, it's not easy. It is not. Talking for 4 hours a day is not easy. And no. You know what? Live television is not easy, sitting there on a stage out in the outfield there at that ballpark in Omaha. We will come back. There is a lot of news going on. Tennessee has dismissed a quarterback from their football team. We'll get into a lot of stuff. In fact, there was also a Jeff Gordon story yesterday that we didn't touch on that created quite the news cycle yesterday in the NASCAR world. So lots going on. Thanks to Todd Walker for joining us. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.